Shalom. What does that mean? Peace, grace, and joy. All these words have been spoken by our Lord at different times in his life and ministry. So in that same spirit, these words are offered to all of us as we gather for worship on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost 2025. Our worshiping family includes those who gather in person and the all-important ministry of Facebook live stream. And we love and appreciate all of you and thank you for your presence. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer, and our musicians, which today includes both the bell and chancel choirs of the church, and with Jamie Stevens, I'm sorry, Jamie Keller, I'll get it right, on the trumpet a little bit later. Our liturgists today are Gail Sawyer and Pastor Rachel. Today is the last day Pastor Rachel will be teaching us Spanish in the Friendship Center during coffee hour immediately following worship. And if you haven't been here for this, you can come in and join us, because we haven't all been the greatest students to just learn everything she's taught us, but we've been having a lot of fun. So join us if you can, even if you can't stay for the Spanish lesson. Everyone is invited to join us in the Friendship Center for fellowship and snacks immediately following the worship. And I'd like to draw your attention to the flowers here today that grace the altar. These are the in honor and memory of Kyle Kittleson. And Stephanie, do I see you today? Where are you? There she is. Good to have you in our worship, Stephanie, today. And thank you for those lovely flowers in honor and memory of your dear husband. Rachel Garris now comes for an announcement.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Real quick, an update on my mom, Ruth. Thank you all so much for your prayers and your well wishes. She is doing well. She is recovering from her procedure that she had on Wednesday, and everything looks great. So thank you so much. We're very blessed and relieved. The other thing that Mark wanted me to share with you is we are still accepting donations for the Grand Blanc LDS Church for the children there. There are some information in the hall if you are interested. We're extending that till next Sunday. So next Sunday I'll bring some huge bags. It looks like there's quite a bit of stuff already donated. So thank you very much. And I'll get that passed along. So thank you all so much.
Thank you, Rachel. And don't forget, next Sunday is Time Change Sunday. Fortunately, it's on the day when we draw back an hour, so if you happen to show up an hour early for worship, that'll be just fine, okay? And my years is in the pastoral ministry, I have many humorous stories about things that have happened on that day or the day in the spring when we go the other way. Today is Consecration Sunday here at Mayflower, a day in which we present our pledges to support our Lord and this church. We will do that following the benedictory response. So as usual, when I come down the aisle and say my final word, Deanne will continue that benedictory response on the piano, which is a rousing number of We Are Marching with a couple other verses. And you can do that on your way to the Friendship Center, or if you need to go out the door. And if you're leaving entrance back here in the sanctuaries, and you have a pledge and would like to leave it, you can simply put it in our receptacle there. So, if you are a visitor today, you don't need to worry a bit about Consecration Sunday. You can simply join with us in our celebration, remembering that your presence today is a gift to us and a gift of God. And a reminder that all giving is confidential and anonymous as much as humanly possible. As always, we thank you for your caring and sharing. So please refer to your bulletin for our worship protocol and mission statement. There are many other important reminders as well, including the order of worship. Our worship theme today is all about celebration, and it is taken from the 84th Psalm, which we read in its entirety. Let us now worship God.
Amen.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Today is Consecration Sunday. Did you also know that the word celebration is a strong synonym for consecration? Pastor Mark's service today is about celebration. His chosen lectionary reading is the 84th Psalm, which is a processional psalm where eager worshipers long to enter the temple and worship in the presence of God. We use that template as we plan every worship service, and even more so on a special day like today. We just heard the handbells inviting us to worship, so let us respond by singing, praying, listening, reflecting, and celebrating. What do we celebrate today? We celebrate all that God has done for the past 122 years here at Mayflower, and all that we trust that God will do in the future. Let us renew our commitments of faithfulness, strengthen our bonds of love and service to each other and the world, and see what God can do. Amen.
From walls of love.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we long for the presence of God as we enter our temple of worship at a place called Mayflower. Help us to celebrate with an unbridled sense of joy in your presence. In spite of all the disheartening news in our world today, we long for something that will help us turn the tide, change the course, and reverse the trend. Grant to us courage with compassion, clarity with tenderness, and hope with substance as we celebrate all the possibilities of an even more effective ministry in 2026. We give you thanks for the faithfulness of your people as we celebrate together. We pray that you would multiply each commitment made today, which can change the world, beginning in each of our own hearts. All this we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
In the previous 3 weeks, we've heard from three of our newer members, and the fourth one today is Betty Briggs, who will share our consecration moment.
When asked to speak about what Mayflower means to me, it was hard to think of just a couple things to share with you. But I think the first thing I was most impressed with when I walked into Mayflower for the first time in many years was the light. The Lord's light was shining everywhere, especially in the faces of the greeters and those waiting to get into the sanctuary for worship. Everyone was so joyful, and it continues today. Light has so much to do with what we have at Mayflower. The message that is so lovingly given by our pastor, so that we can carry with us, the music with such heart, and of course, our coffee hour after worship. I leave the building refreshed and ready for work for the week. Coming from Plymouth and all we had been through those years during closing helped me so much when I saw all the familiar faces here before me. We had all been through such deep waters, and coming to Mayflower was just a breath of fresh air, knowing that we are welcomed and loved. Mayflower's mission and outreach ministry is a plus for me, since my calling for many years has been outreach and helping the least of these. So to be able to carry on my duties on the mission and outreach team was a good fit for me. The Blue Box and the Friendship Center is our connection to helping those in need, and you are so generous in helping, since there is a more of a need every day. When we deliver all the donations to the South Lansing Ministries, we get a huge thank you for all we do. And I'm so grateful for being one of the Mayflower's three lay ministers. We all received our training at different times, but we still do the Lord's work wherever there is a need. If it's visiting the homebound, reading liturgy at graveside, or just praying, we're here for you. Both of these ministries are so important here at Mayflower, and there are many more. I'm so very grateful to be a part of anything I can do to maintain the Lord's light here in our beloved community of Mayflower. Thank you.
Things will be added unto you.
It's good to hear amens. Last week, when our executive director of our national organization was here, he couldn't believe how many beautiful amens were resonating from the sanctuary. And his home church is in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, a very well-known church in congregational circles. And he said, you know, I'm going to take this idea back to the church there, because he said there's this angst about clapping and not clapping, but he said, I thought the amens were just beautiful here, so keep him up. Well, God has been faithful through every season of our life together in the beloved community, and today we celebrate God's faithfulness. With gratitude for the past and confidence in the future, we bring our pledges and offerings as a sign of our shared hope in what God will continue to do through God's church. In that spirit, we now offer our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed ourselves in this holy moment of worship. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we come again in a spirit of celebration to worship today, and we have much to celebrate. We rejoice with one another as we unite our hearts as your beloved community, and we ask you to consecrate our gifts, our pledges, our offerings, and indeed our lives as we have just offered them to you. So, Lord, we pray that our celebration would be horizontal as well as vertical, that we'd express our love and care and celebrate all those who've been a part of the spiritual presence of God in our lives. And yet today, Lord, we cannot forget the troubles of this world, including our dysfunctional Congress who refuses to bring an end to the shutdown, which has caused so much pain and needless interruption to incomes and daily lives. We pray for leadership and boldness and courage, as well as compassion for the members of Congress and others. Help us to remember your words in the sermon you gave on the Mount, which has been so distorted by those who claim to follow you. And we are reminded, O Lord, that you did not say, I was a wealthy corporation and you gave me tax breaks. I was a gun manufacturer and you protected my profits. I was a pharmaceutical company and you let me charge whatever I wanted. And neither did Jesus say I was hungry and you checked to see if I had a job before you fed me. Rather, those words of Jesus, so humbly and beautifully and yet courageously offered, were words like, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. May these words be upon our lips and in our hearts, Lord, as we minister to others, even in this worship of service today. Be with those sitting in the pew who bring deep sorrows to their remembrance. May that spirit of joy radiate through all of our sorrows. And then may we sing and pray a joyful praise to God that you have promised to be with us in all things and through all things. Now, Lord, we thank you for the care and love of the beloved community that we offer to others, especially for those who are in our circles of love and care. such as the ones we mention now by first name as we lift them to you. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to pray, showing us the way, and demonstrating the love that is radiated in all of our prayers, and especially the one that you taught to your disciples. And we pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 84. There are many gatherings which we anxiously look forward to: the big game, the concerts, a night at the Wharton Center, or a celebration with our grandchildren. In all of our gatherings, where does church rank on that list? Hear now these words. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, may they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, we ask that you would consecrate everything that we celebrate today, including our gifts and offerings, indeed, that of our very selves that we bring to you. Now we ask that you would consecrate these words humbly offered. Amen. Do you remember the days when you used a thesaurus and it was a book? Does anybody have a copy of a thesaurus that is still in your library? And what is the name of that, the person who did that most famous? Oh boy, got it. Roger's Thesaurus. When I was a young minister, I hit that book all the time. I don't know where it went, because you know now it's available on the smartphone, which I use all the time, and I still use the thesaurus in my sermon preparation, although I admit I don't always get it right. And if I don't, at least I have a few people that will remind me. It is kind of funny, isn't it? As I began preparing for this sermon, I came across something in the thesaurus that fascinated me, and you've already got a hint of it. that one of the strongest synonyms for consecration is celebration. So it gave me a good excuse to make this day about celebration because essentially it is much of the same thing. So I will call it a consecration celebration today. And you'll have to indulge me a little bit here, folks, because this is a little more of a personal type sermon than I normally give. So you can let me know what you think about that if indeed you want. Now, we have all had the opportunity, or those of us that are here on a regular basis, to think about our own level of financial support we give to the ministry of this church. When worship ends today, we will place our tangible commitments into a receptacle, whether that be a simple commitment to offer your prayers and your attendance when you can, or whether you offer a major commitment of thousands of dollars. Every commitment we receive is both confidential, but more importantly, highly valued. Consecration Month reminds us of all of God's gifts and blessings, and there are many. We have heard from several, as we did this morning, about what this church has meant to them. And in the process, we have measured our desire and our ability to give, God being our helper. These pledges we give today will give our budget committee time to begin work immediately to present a budget to our congregation for approval in January. With that, I want to share some reasons why I celebrate today. First, I would like to relate my journey to the journey of those whom the psalmist describes that were on a processional journey to Jerusalem to enter the lovely dwelling place of God, which was that temple in Jerusalem. The psalmist indicates that there was a longing and yearning to enter that temple to experience the presence of God. And I suppose that as children, we remember how much we anticipated coming to church, but a lot of times at age 14 and 15, we kind of lost that yearning. Some of us, perhaps most of us, can relate to that. Of course, the temple was not the only place to experience the presence of God, but there was something special about it. In this case, it was a festival, very likely the Feast of Tabernacles, celebrating God's provisions and protection, which is still celebrated today. It is called Sukkot, a week-long festival which Jewish people all over the world celebrated just a couple of weeks ago, October 6th through the 13th of this year. And included in that is a harvest festival. Recently, we at Mayflower hosted two events you might name as festivals. An ice cream social. I really enjoyed that, especially with all the toppings we had that day. And a day which we honored and celebrated a large segment of our older members, those who reached the milestone of 90 years or more. Both of these were very special. In the case of the 90-year-old honorees, we could likely hear many stories from them about the difficulties of their journeys. It is important to note why the temple was the focal point of worship. The psalmist subtly describes the difficulty of the journey, going through the Valley of Baca, which is translated the Valley of Tears. People travel long distances in hot and dry desert conditions to arrive in Jerusalem for the festival, one of many that included pilgrimages, uphill journeys to Jerusalem, which sits atop Mount Zion. And I know I have a picture in my mind because I've been there, even though it's been a long time. There were likely, very likely, some people who couldn't make it because of illness or injury. Family members who would face difficult decisions on these long journeys and pilgrimages as to who could continue the journey and who needed to turn back to travel on the disappointing and disheartening journey back home. There may have been people who even succumbed to death along the journey. It was my privilege a number of years ago in my travels to stop in Baker City, Oregon, where they have the museum to the Oregon Trail. And of course, there was a lot of joy and happiness in reaching Oregon, but there were other accounts of children who were lost to death and illness and breakdowns and horrible tragedies. And fights with natives and all kinds of things. And it also sounds like the crooked journeys some of us have endured when it comes to church life. We heard just a little bit of that in the consecration moment this morning. So in spite of our yearning to experience God in God's special dwelling place, and in spite of all the special memories many of us have had when we look back on the best of what we have experienced in church, there have been deserts and drynesses along the way, whether it was a result of our own choice or whether the difficulties and trails and travails that unfortunately happen sometimes in church. Fortunately, as the psalmist describes, there have been rains along the way which have produced pools, which could be described as oases. Mayflower has been the greatest oasis for me by far. So I'm going to ask you to indulge me. Largely because of my optimistic personality, the sadness and disappointments at different junctures in my life can seem muted and even hidden. But in my journey, which ultimately led me here to Mayflower, there has been uncertainty, disappointment, and sadness. After the dysfunction during my childhood and teenage years, I heard God's call to follow a path toward pastoral ministry. After difficulties in my personal life and experiencing a burnout in my pastoral journey, deep within my heart, in spite of how much I enjoyed my years touring in the beloved Pacific Northwest, I had a yearning, a longing that I probably didn't tell anyone for something that I didn't think could ever happen again, and that was a return to the pulpit. So when I moved back to Michigan to marry the person who has become the love of my life, I was just happy to be in church every Sunday with her in Flint. I didn't seek the pulpit nor any position of leadership, and I was embarrassed when Deanne told others that I had been a pastor. I dealt with that, but nonetheless, I simply volunteered to do something I knew nothing about, building handicap ramps at homes of folks who could not afford to have them commercially built. In a three-way partnership between our men's group, the United Way, and the United Auto Workers, we were able to provide ramps for many very appreciative families. And believe it or not, I became somewhat proficient at operating an impact driver. You know what one of those is? It's a power screwdriver, but it goes so fast you better have it right. And you better not have your finger stuck down in the wrong place. And the reminders I received when I was cutting wood to measure twice and cut only once with that pressure-treated wood, and a rudimentary understanding of the legal requirements for ramp construction, how far you have to come out in the number of inches that it goes down and the size of the landings and all of that. But it was a joy to see those with handicaps, some very severe, to be able to navigate their wheelchairs up and down a new ramp with exuberance. And I'll never forget one gentleman who was confined to his house, and as soon as that ramp was built, he took off on that ramp. I thought he was going to crash. And he went right out the driveway and down the street, and all of his neighbors were out there clapping, and he was just going as fast as he could in his wheelchair. Never forget that. We received hugs and thank yous beyond measure, and it produced incredible satisfaction to all of us who had volunteered. And it heightened my appreciation, looking back, for those of you that do the all-important but more menial tasks within the life of the beloved community. As a pastor, my attempt will be never to avoid those menial tasks that I can do along with all of you who perform them. It is a blessing. Even away from the doors of the church, I learned what it feels like to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. In a way, I still think I am. So my journey to Mayflower began well before I arrived. And during the days in Seattle when church life was mostly non-existent, there were moments I recall when I experienced the amazing moments where I felt the presence of God even during the journey through my own valley of tears with disappointments, loneliness, and some regret. But there are other reasons. During these incredible 8+ years during my time here at Mayflower, what has happened has gone beyond my wildest dreams. It's hard for me to talk about this. Following the difficult times this church experienced nearly 20 years ago, Mayflower Church had to transition from a full-time ministry or minister to a part-time minister. And during the lengthy period of part-time ministry, the church depended upon regular fundraising events and the rental of our church building to other churches who did not always share our concept of worship and church life in order to meet expenses. There were tight controls on energy use as well as other things. Fortunately, I was able to donate extra time to concentrate on visitation and networking, in addition to all the expected pastoral duties, and our church began to grow. What was true about Mayflower then is just as true now. Where are you, Ross? You were part of that, one of the first visitors that came after I came here. There was a quick readiness to welcome, love, and affirm each new person who walked through the door. New members have also been brought into the leadership of our church. And I will tell you, in my years of experience and all of the study and training I have ever had, a church never sustains growth without the development of and inclusion of new leadership. Staffing has been another bright spot in the development and growth of our church. Our minister of music worked for several years without taking her salary, which was a line item in the budget that she certainly would have deserved. Music, as you know, and has been said this morning, is an important part of our ministry, both for the participants and those in the congregation. It plays an important role in the growth of our church. Barb is able to begin receiving her salary, while not a large one, and certainly underneath her dedication and ability. But it reinforced the principle that gave us a sense that one who works is worthy of hire. That's in the Bible, you know. Currently, concurrently, and over time, I transitioned officially from part-time to full-time. I'd like to recognize my wife, Deanne, for the neighborhood Bible study that many of you are involved in. She began several years ago and continues effectively to this day every Wednesday morning. And by the way, a week from Wednesday, if you want to take a field trip with us, we're going to the University of Olivet. You can read or hear more about that. But it has become a close-knit group of women who study, pray, fellowship together. Some of you will remember when we had a Christian education assistant several years ago and Reverend Linda Farmer Lewis. Linda brought years of ministry experience and lots of energy to our church before she departed to accept a full-time position in another congregational church. Later, Reverend Art Ritter came to Mayflower as a teaching pastor following his retirement after nearly 13 years pastoring the Meadowbrook Church, the congregational church in Novi. A couple of years ago, we conferred the title of Pastor Emeritus upon our beloved former pastor, Reverend Dave Banfield. As a consultant to two congregations, Plymouth and Mayflower, he helped all of us navigate that transition. He preached a memorable sermon based on his faith, which helped him deal with the tragic loss of his young bride, Denise, many years ago. Reverend Dave also presented an enlightened and timely series on Christian nationalism and shared this pulpit 3 or 4 memorial services with me and others. Dave has also become a close friend and confidant of mine. We were able to license our pastoral intern, Rachel Garris, who answered her call to ministry. And she has been a great addition to Mayflower as she works toward further education and training at some point in the future toward ordination. It has also been a joy to welcome Reverend Marjorie Briggs as a volunteer staff minister of pastoral care. What a wonderful experience it was to shepherd her through the ordination process just this last June. And sometimes our gain is another's loss. Both the Plymouth Congregational Church of Lansing and First Congregational Church in St. John's closed as their membership declined, and those churches faced relational difficulties which were never resolved. Our congregation has been enriched and blessed by the new members, leaders, and servants, including those 3 dedicated, trained, and talented lay ministers. And Don, if you're listening today from the hospital room, you're included in that. In a period of over a year and a half, several of us served on a committee to completely overhaul our bylaws, which included 37 or maybe 38 two-hour meetings with countless more hours of dedicated work done at home or elsewhere. Included in that process was a rewrite of our church covenant that we're proud of and we probably need to read more often. A congregational legacy without which we cease to be a church, without an identifiable purpose and mission. When we observe Consecration Month, yes, it involves money. In many churches, the subject of money produces stress. In these days of membership decline in almost every segment of church life in America, money almost always declines with it. We don't have that problem here at Mayflower, as God has placed a desire in the hearts of God's people to give generously, sacrificially, and joyfully, and I'm glad that I don't have the burden that some pastors do of trying to turn the crank and get a few more dollars in. We've been able to put a lift in our building, which for the first time since the church was built can transport the mobility challenge from the sanctuary level to the lobby and friendship center without going outside. Those days of 20 degrees in January and the wheelchairs and walkers, well, we don't have that anymore. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to you. We are currently in the process of a project that will be presented to the congregation for approval to construct a bathroom on the sanctuary level, which will be a great accessible addition to our building and make it easier to access a restroom without having to go to the front of the sanctuary during worship. Memorial donations and special gifts have been received, which have included padded pews, new chairs for the Friendship Center, and many other needed items. During the COVID pandemic, we upgraded our ability to provide some of the best first-class streaming you'll ever see when people tune in, as they are today, with a new computer and several cameras and a person who operates that like a genius. I'm sure I've missed some things, so please forgive me. But what we are doing today will help bolster and solidify the future of the church, minister to our community and beyond as we expand the staff, maintain and improve our facilities, and extend our reach beyond any borders that we humans construct. And most importantly, bring glory to God as we invite, nurture, serve, and love others into the kingdom. Of course, we will always face challenges with more improvements and enhancements to our building and many other challenges along the way. But as we look back, we gain more confidence and trust in the God who has promised to be with us during every difficulty and every challenge and provide joy when we look back and say, we've done it. But when the house of the Lord becomes a beloved community, a day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 years anywhere else, at least for me, and I know for many of you. We are not perfect. We have a lot to do. And yet, God is perfecting each of us. Those are some of the reasons I am celebrating today, and I believe you are too. Finally, I'd like to thank you for giving me the treasured and sacred opportunity to continue to serve as your pastor and shepherd, which indeed produces joy in me every day. And thanks be to God. So let's celebrate. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, perverse and foolish, often I have strayed, but yet in love he sought me. I trust that that is your testimony too, as we pool our hearts together and find the refreshing pools of living water that God so abundantly and faithfully provides. May it be true for your soul and mine, for without a desire to experience the presence of God, there's nothing that we do that's worth anything. May it be so, and go in peace. Amen. Kim, there we go. So, no stuffed shirts anywhere to be found here today. We're going to transition, if you can join us, the Friendship Center, and that song will continue on the piano, and you can put your pledge if you have it. If you're a visitor or for whatever reason don't have a pledge to offer, just your presence today is a blessing to all of us. We don't offer grades, and we're not even doing it on the curve, folks. It is the beloved community joined together for all that we are. And as Congregationalists, every other person is just as important as another. So go in peace and hope to see many of you in the Friendship Center. Hit it, Deanne.